This is Radio Hangar. I'm Tower. And today on ATIS, we're talking about a corporate reversal that says a lot about where the airline business is right now. American Airlines is reconsidering seatback screens. Months after pulling them out of their narrowbody fleet, the carrier is now signaling those screens could be coming back. That's according to reporting from Simple Flying. And the reason it matters goes well beyond what you watch on a 3-hour flight to Phoenix. Before we dig in, a quick word from today's sponsor. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com? All right, here's the background. For years, American Airlines, along with United and others, made a strategic bet. The bet was that the smartphone in your pocket and the tablet in your bag had killed the seatback screen. Why spend money installing, maintaining, and certifying heavy in-flight entertainment hardware when every passenger is already carrying a better screen? The math looked clean. Strip the screens out, save weight, save fuel, save maintenance hours, push everyone to stream content over the aircraft's Wi-Fi to their personal device. So American went all in. New narrowbody deliveries, the Boeing 737 MAX 8s, the Airbus A321, were configured without seatback screens. Existing aircraft were being refurbished without them. The official line was that this is what passengers wanted. Here's what you need to know. Passengers, it turns out, did not want this, or at least premium passengers didn't. Delta Airlines went the opposite direction. Delta kept its seatback screens. Delta invested in better screens, larger screens, 4K resolution, expanded content libraries, and Delta has spent the last several years quietly eating Americans' lunch in the premium leisure and business travel segments. Surveys, loyalty data, and yield numbers all started telling the same story. When a business traveler or a high-value leisure customer is choosing between two carriers on the same route, the presence of a seatback screen is a tiebreaker, sometimes more than a tiebreaker. The headline doesn't tell the whole story. American's new leadership has been very public about a strategy reset. The previous administration at the airline pushed hard on a direct distribution model, cutting out travel agencies and corporate booking channels. That experiment cost American an estimated $1.5 billion in revenue before it was reversed. The seatback screen decision is being viewed internally as part of that same pattern, a cost-driven choice that ignored what premium customers were actually willing to pay for. So now the airline is studying a reversal. Reporting suggests American is evaluating reinstalling seatback entertainment on at least some narrow-body aircraft, particularly the longer-range A321s that fly transcontinental routes and Caribbean missions where flight times push 4, 5, even 6 hours. This affects you if you fly American on a regular basis. The likely path is that any reinstallation would prioritize the premium heavy aircraft first. Think the A321 with a larger first-class cabin? The international configured narrow bodies? Don't expect screens to suddenly reappear on every MAX 8 flying a 1-hour hop from Dallas to Houston. The economics still don't work there. For the broader industry, this is a meaningful signal. We've spent the better part of a decade hearing that hardware in the cabin was dead, that everything was moving to bring your own device, that Wi-Fi streaming was the future. And the future, it turns out, is more complicated. Premium passengers want a screen embedded in the seat in front of them. They don't want to mount their phone on a tray table. They don't want to drain their battery. They don't want to fumble with an app. There's also a regulatory and operational layer here that doesn't get much attention. Reinstalling in-flight entertainment systems is not a small project. We're talking supplemental type certificates, weight and balance recalculations, electrical load analysis, and crew training. If American moves forward, it'll be a multi-year retrofit program. The aircraft don't just get screens bolted in over a weekend. And then there's the weight question. Modern seatback screens are dramatically lighter than the units airlines were installing 15 years ago. We're talking single-digit pounds per seat in many cases, but across a 180-seat narrowbody, that still adds up. Fuel burn calculations, range numbers, payload capability, all of it shifts a little. The carriers that kept their screens have been managing that trade-off all along. American would be re-entering that equation. For general aviation pilots listening, this might feel like inside baseball airline stuff, but there's a thread here worth pulling. The aviation industry at every level keeps relearning the same lesson. Cost-cutting that ignores the customer experience tends to come back around. Whether you're a flight school deciding whether to keep a working autopilot in your trainers, an FBO deciding whether to staff the front desk on weekends, or a major carrier deciding whether to rip out seatback screens, the customer is paying attention. And the customer remembers. American Airlines is now publicly acknowledging that. Whether the screens actually come back and on which aircraft and on what timeline remains to be seen. But the conversation has shifted. That's the news. Reporting on this one came from Simple Flying. You can find more at radiohangar.com. I'm Tower. Watch the trades, watch the data, and watch what the premium cabin is telling you. That's ATS.